Good morning. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This time of year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, as we've seen in probably most of our Sunday schools. And a lot of our discussions and our thoughts are centered around, hopefully, as Joshua said, the birth of Jesus, not necessarily just the presence that we're going to receive. One of the great things that oftentimes we may not think of, but it's one of the better things about the birth of Jesus, is the fact that God's Word was born in the baby Jesus Christ. God's Word became flesh. The very expression of God. I'm using words right now to express what I'm thinking, what's in my heart. That's who Jesus was. That's who He is. But He came as a baby in Bethlehem to show us and to tell us what God wanted for each one of us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the power of His word, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That night, or that day, in Bethlehem, remember, the angels came to the shepherds, and the angels were so impressive to the shepherds. A great light shone around them. It was a brilliant sight. The shepherds looked up, and they saw the angels in heaven. What was the message the angels said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, because unto you is born in Bethlehem the babe, which is Christ the Lord. The shepherds saw these angels, and they were probably awestruck by the vision. It was probably very exciting to them to see these angels, because probably they had not seen angels before. But I must tell you this, the sight was when they got to Bethlehem, when they saw the babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Because you see, when they saw that babe, they were looking on the face of God in the flesh, Jesus. See, they were probably very excited about the angels. But you see, the important thing about the angels was not the presence of the angels or what the angels looked like. It was the message that the angels brought. And that is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and they should go see Him. So the shepherds went. But I tell you, that babe, even that babe in the Bethlehem, in the manger in Bethlehem, that the shepherds went to see, made the whole world. See, he says here, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake unto men. God spoke through the prophets. God spoke directly to man in the Old Testament. We saw God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. There were many different ways that God had spoken to man, but you see, this one was special. This time He spoke through His only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus, the babe in Bethlehem, was His Son. The Son, the only begotten Son of God, who is appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Notice in verse 3, he says that he was the express image of his person in upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus came to this world for a reason. His reason was not so that we could have a nice time of celebration each year to celebrate his birthday. You know, we celebrate birthdays, but Miss Ida read us a celebration of someone's death. Better yet, the life that they lived before they died. And that was a wonderful tribute to those two individuals. But you see, Jesus came not so he could be cuddled by his parents, so they could play ga-ga-goo-goo with him. It wasn't so that he could be the cutest baby out there and win all the baby beauty pageants. He wasn't here for the sake of calming the water. He wasn't here for the sake of causing the blind to see. He wasn't here for those things. But you see, those things were God's will nonetheless. But that wasn't the reason he came. What it says here in Hebrews, he came to purge our sins himself. Jesus came as a man to die. Because you see, without being a man, he couldn't die. He couldn't give his life without being a man. He couldn't shed his blood without being in a body. So he came to purge our sins. He was God's Word in the flesh. God's Word. How important is God's Word? Turn to Psalm 33. Excuse me, Psalm 12, just a few pages over. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. There are a lot of people who have asked me recently, well, not a lot of people, but several, who have asked me or have told me, well, that's what you think about God's Word. You think that's God's Word. But others don't. Other religions think differently than you do. And I said, yes, and they have the right to do that. But I want to tell you something here. You know who has kept God's Word? God's Word hasn't been kept by me or you or man. It has been kept by God himself. Notice in chapter 12, verse 6 of Psalms, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Notice verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus said, he told those that he talked to, he said, all this is going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will not go away. You want something that's going to be sure, that's going to last forever? It's God's Word. It's not those things, other things that we tend to put our trust in. This earth, we're pretty confident that this ground is going to be here, right, by the end of this service? That this concrete that's under this building is going to stay firm. But you know what? There have been many times where this earth has opened up and has swallowed things much greater than this concrete that we're standing on. See, even those things aren't worth putting our trust in. Even the things that we think we may think Pike's Peak will be there forever, but you know what? It won't be. It's not worth putting our trust in. The money that we make, the houses that we build, the cars that we drive, none of those things will last. You know why? They're not perfect. They're not perfect. That's why these bodies won't last. They're not perfect. But God's Word is. He says here, the word of God is pure and preserved by the Lord. So I don't need to go on a lifelong trek or a lifelong struggle to try to find out whether God protected his word. He tells me he did. I know he did. And I can be confident that he has. Proverbs 30. Just one book over. Very similar wording. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. Every word. You can't take God's word and say, okay, I'll take those verses, but I won't take those. I believe the New Testament. I don't believe the Old Testament. I don't believe this verse. I believe that verse, but I don't believe those. I can agree with this one. I can't agree with that one. We can't do that with God's word. See, every word of God is pure. Everyone. And if you add to it or take away from it, you're a liar. I don't have, there's no room for my own personal opinion about God's word. This is what God says. I can't say, well, he says this, but I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. I'm a liar. What I believe does not matter when it comes to God's word. It doesn't change God's word. Does it matter as far as whether it affects my life? Absolutely it does. But it doesn't change the fact that it's true and it's pure and it's perfect. God's word. When you come to me and you ask me a question, one thing you have to realize, I'm not perfect. Okay? Realize I'm not perfect. And what that means is my answer will not be perfect unless I read you word for word from Scripture. Scripture is perfect. That's the great thing. See, you want something that's going to give you a foundation to build on, a foundation for your life, somewhere you can go to and it will always be the same. God's Word is it. The Word of God is pure, preserved by the Lord. Not only that, it's powerful. Psalm 33. We saw in Hebrews that he said, by Jesus the worlds were made. By Jesus the worlds were made. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now listen to this. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He spake, and it was done. This is talking about when he created the world. Now I ask you, in my life, when he speaks, what should happen? It should be done, exactly. If he speaks, it should be done. That should be the end of it. Creation listened to him. We are his creation. We should listen to him. Listen to the word of God. When Jesus speaks, when the Lord speaks in his word, it's done. It's done. Now, can I reason? Do I have reason? Do I have thinking abilities? Absolutely. God gave us those. We should be able to reason about things. But listen, when we reason out what God has said, from there we should just do it. This is not a debate that I can have with God. Y'all remember the story of Job? Job and his friends kind of had a debate going between them. And then the Lord showed up. And he said, listen, stand up, Job. Answer me like a man. Tell me, where were you when I commanded the world into existence? Job's only answer was, Lord, you are almighty. That's the only thing he could say. God spoke, and it was done. He should speak, and it be done in my life. When the Lord speaks, you know what I should say? Amen. You know what amen means? When we say amen, you know what it means? So be it. So be it. So when God speaks, just say amen and do it. Say amen and do it. Let him be the one. See, his word is true. His word is perfect. His word is righteous. His word is powerful. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. I am using quite a bit of scriptures today, but it is not without reason. The way I looked at this message, if I'm preaching about God's word, I should use God's word in the message. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Tell you something else about God's word. It is living. His word lives. It is not some dead words on a page. It is not some something that would not make a difference. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Notice, the word of God is alive, powerful, and a divider of the thoughts, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive, and I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. I can't hide what I'm thinking from God, God's word. Notice in verse 13 it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Still talking about the word of God, but it says in his sight. The kids had this in their memory verse today, but we're going to read it. John chapter 1. Most of you that have been here for very long know this is one of my favorite passages. Because to me, this shows the love of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from John, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John does not record the birth of Jesus in the common sense, in the way that Luke and Matthew do. He does not record the events surrounding the physical birth of Jesus, but he tells us about the birth of Jesus in that one sentence. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus was the very Word of God. He was the very Word of God in that manger. So why is that so special? Why is that so special? The Word was made flesh. You know why it's special? Because it's the Word of God. He's the Word of God. Can we know anything without God sharing His Word with us? Could I know anything about God without His Word? No. He has chosen through His Word to reveal Himself to us. And His Word was Jesus in flesh. In the flesh, He was the Word of God. He was the expression of God. God showing Himself to us. His Word is important. Two more passages we're going to look at. 1 Peter chapter 1. John had told us in chapter 1, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. He did that by allowing us to be born again. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, starting in verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the grass, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I would tell you this morning, you have heard the word of God. It has not been what I've said, it's what I've read from here, is the very word of God. And the Word of God is powerful, pure, preserved, living or alive, and life-giving. Here he says you're born again, not by silver and gold, not by the things of this world, not by your own good deeds, none of those things, but by the Word of God. And I'll tell you what the Word of God says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Word of God is how we receive life. We are born again by the Word of God. That's why that night was so special when Jesus came. Because you see, they said, "Glory to God in the highest," the angels did, "peace on earth, goodwill toward men." You know what the goodwill toward men was? Salvation. Jesus had come to fulfill God's salvation plan for man. It was a glorious day. It's a day we should celebrate. But you see, we can't just celebrate that one day. We can't just celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because you see, the birth was just his way to get to his death. Dying on the cross to purge our sins so that we could be born again. To those who believed on him, he gave power to become the sons of God. We're born again by the word of God. Romans 10. This is the last passage we'll look at. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation was what Jesus brought in Bethlehem that day, even as a babe, some 33 years before he went to the cross. He brought salvation, goodwill toward men. Peace. You know, it says, the angel said, peace on earth. We tend to think that that means peace between people. I don't think it means that. I think it means peace between man and God. Because you see, Jesus came to give peace to us. Not peace between each other, because he actually said, I'll be a divider. People will hate you for my sake. That's not peace, is it? But you see, he brought peace between God and man as a babe in Bethlehem. We talk about peace and we want peace. We desire peace. But you see, the peace that we need is not between us and others. It's first and foremost between us and God. Then the others will take care of themselves. See, Jesus brought peace. He brought salvation. He was the Savior. John said something else. John the Baptist. I like to call him John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He didn't say, look, there's the one we're going to celebrate his birthday every year by giving gifts to each other. He didn't say that. Because you see, that wasn't as important as the fact that he was the very Lamb of God. Came as a babe to go to the cross and die there for your sins and mine. That's what the real meaning of Jesus coming was. You see, he was the Word of God come to save us. Emmanuel, God with us. All those things, wonderful. But never forget that he came so he could die. See, that's the true blessing of Christmas. That's the true blessing of this celebration, is that I have salvation because he came as a babe. That's the beauty, the real reason for this season, as they say. Never forget that. And as he said here in Romans chapter 10, don't be ashamed to tell others either. See, at this time, everybody's into giving presents to each other, sharing and having a peaceful time. But you know what? The message that needs to be heard is not that Jesus was born, but that Jesus died. Everybody was born. I was born June 16th, 1970. I had a birthday. Some like to celebrate it every year. Not me. But you know, so we all had a birthday. But you see, the difference with Jesus was that when he died, he fulfilled the plan of God, the word of God for each one of us by dying and cleansing us and sanctifying us, forgiving us for our sins, and completing God's plan for salvation. That's the real reason for this, the reason we should celebrate.